This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA. With your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Lately, we've been hearing about 8chan and how it's a place for hate. However, not too many people are aware exactly what 8chan is and how it even evolved to what it's known for today. Freelance journalist Timothy McLaughlin joins me to speak about the dark history of 8chan. Thanks for joining me, Tim. So, could you tell me, what exactly is 8chan?
8chan is a image board website people can use anonymously to post images and short messages with each other. You know, if any of the listeners are familiar with 4chan, also a similar stuff up there, also an image board website.
So, who created 8chan?
The website was created by a man by the name of Frederick Brennan, and he created the website while living in New York City. Though he is now no longer involved, with running it or in any of its operations.
So I was reading a couple of articles, and I found out that Frederick had actually created 8chan because he didn't like 4chan that much. How did that work out, or did I get it wrong?
Yeah, that's correct. He felt that 4chan was becoming a bit too regulated, that the owner of the time of 4chan, a guy by the name of Christopher Poole, was the administrator of the website and also its creator, that he removed content and banned people in a way that Brennan found to be arbitrary and not to his liking. And he is a programmer, skills in terms of kind of a program, obviously, building websites, and decided to kind of strike out on his own to start his own image board.
So 8chan has been around for, I think, about 6 or 7 years now. Why is it an issue for a lot of people nowadays?
Sure. So, I mean, I think certainly the website was known to probably, people who are maybe a little bit more in kind of internet culture, certainly people who are familiar with, like, the Gamergate controversy, things like that. Obviously, this past year, it has come more into the mainstream in terms of news coverage due to the recent shootings in New Zealand, in San Diego, and most recently in El Paso. And all three of those shootings, it certainly appears that the people who carried out those shootings posted their manifestos to 8chan and were perhaps, users of the site. I think it's yet to be determined, how involved they were, but certainly appeared to draw some kind of inspiration from the community that that thrives on there.
I actually go to 4chan and 8chan occasionally, and I go there really for the green text. And the green text is just like a storytelling kind of formula. And from my perspective, 4chan and 8chan, I would say 70% of it is just a lot of bad posting where it's a bunch of jokes, and the rest of it is kind of, a little extreme. Why not just moderate that and get rid of that kind of stuff? Wouldn't 8chan then be better?
Obviously with these things, these communities, it's kind of hard to tell, size and things like that because of the anonymity, part of the reason that people also enjoy them. But yeah, sure, defenders of the, of 8chan certainly argue that there are other boards, that are not as extreme. Some of the ones that get the majority of news coverage, there are ones that are more less extreme, is probably the best way to say it. In terms of, moderation, 8chan was kind of founded around, the ethos of very limited moderation, certainly less than 4chan had, which already, at the time was not that much. Yeah, so I mean, I think you raise a good question, and these are good questions that people are, asking now and debating now in terms of content moderation online, how you go about doing it, what the limits of it are, what kind of impact these sites have in terms of amplifying, harmful speech, of radicalizing people. So a lot of stuff that people are kind of digging into right now and taking a look at and having certainly, debates over direction.
I think of 4chan and I think of these guys are mostly just trolls. I remember the one time they started this viral campaign that Justin Bieber had cancer, and he never had cancer, by the way. But they convinced people that not only did Justin Bieber have cancer, but that you should shave your head in solidarity. And a couple of people actually did that, I think, in real life, and it kind of went viral on Twitter for a while. And it's that kind of stuff that is very asinine and ridiculous that comes off of 4chan. Where did this extremist stuff come from?
Some of the content that's on there, obviously very extreme. People hold kind of, you know, extreme views when it comes to, you know, racism and anti-Semitism and violent misogyny and things like that. You know, I think that they have found a lot of users have found a kind of, you know, shared community where they can express those views and feel comfortable doing so. And again, I think, you know, the anonymity online is something that, you know, some users will say kind of, you know, helps fuel that, because obviously nobody knows who they are. It's quite difficult to find out, you know, who they are.
I sometimes wonder, is it better to just leave people on 8chan because at least you know where they are versus that they get better at hiding? Or is that not a great way to look at it?
I'm not sure. You know, there are, I think, competing schools of thought over that. You know, Frederick Brennan, you know, the founder, who has now recently called for 8chan to be shut down, he has also argued that it being shut down would be the best thing for people who use other kind of similar websites, because if it wasn't shut down, then there would be kind of like more sweeping or more oversight by perhaps federal, you know, regulators or governments or things like that, so that by, you know, the people fighting the fight to keep 8chan up are actually limiting the spaces where they might be able to express the kind of views that they do, which is an interesting argument that he's been making recently.
I thought that 8chan was shut down, like they lost their security company or something. They're still up?
As of now, they are currently offline.
So it's just gone for right now. Where did all the trolls go to? They went back to 4chan?
I have no idea on that one.
Maybe they went to Reddit, because Reddit has more moderators, but they still share some of those underlinings. If the moderators don't catch them in time, those boards will pop up. So do you think people are being too hard on 8chan, or should there be some kind of regulation at this point?
I only know as much as I kind of, you know, reported in my story and other stories that I've done kind of on this topic. Like I said, you know, earlier, I think there's going to be a lot of debate on this. We already see a lot of debate on this, mostly with the bigger kind of tech companies, with Facebook, with YouTube, with Google, over kind of what gets through and what doesn't get through, and, you know, who can be, you know, what gets moderated, what doesn't get moderated. You know, 8chan, I think, is a small community compared to those people, to those platforms, but obviously, you know, given the recent events, been a tremendous amount of focus and interest on it, because it represents kind of one extreme of the spectrum. Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing debate. I don't see any kind of simple answers or quick fixes here, but certainly something that I think is going to be discussed for a long time.
One of the biggest things that I think when it comes to 8chan is just censorship in general. How if we start censoring even the smallest of groups like this, at what point it starts becoming a slippery slope where we're censoring everything then? Or are we taking this too far? Is this needs to be moderated?
Again, that's another question that I think people are going to you know, have to discuss and talk about. We're going to see that kind of ideas perhaps evolve and change there. You know, what constitutes censorship versus moderation? You know, what constitutes free speech versus calls to violence or incitement? You know, these things are not entirely, you know, black and white all the time.
Well, Timothy, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
On you know, Twitter and my website, which is just my name as well.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.